Cozy TV. Is smoking a sin? Should I repent? Should I confess to God and hope that I'm chosen before the disruption of the world? What am I going to learn not to make long videos? The video you're about to watch, I went over 34 minutes. I was so into it, I did not do what I thought I was going to do on this video. I went off on Romans 7. It's extremely profitable, but I lost the microphone audio. I was not happy about that, but this is God's operation. This is God's thing. So you will be hearing this video with the audio coming from the iPhone, which is about 3 feet away. It's not ideal, but it's certainly listenable. And you know me, I'm a stickler for sound quality and video quality. So I'm upset about this on one level. On another level, I'm happy that God hijacked it and that it's perfect, because God is perfect in spite of my efforts. And so I commend this video to you. I got on a complete and total roll because of one statement that Caitlin Green made, which is, quote, "Paul struggled every day against his sinful nature," unquote. I'm not going to go into it now. I could probably do an hour right now. Just, I get into it on the video. That is so wrong. It's the essence of religion. It's satanic at its core. It is a slap in the face of Christ. It's a slap in the face of Paul's gospel. I did not do what I wanted to do in this video, was get into Galatians chapter 1 and show you the two verses that Caitlin puts together, which is fatal. And I'm not exaggerating. I guess that'll have to wait until tomorrow. God hijacked this upcoming video to the left and to the right. I'm just a useful tool for God. But I can read Romans. "Your teaching is so wrong," she says about me. "I saw a comment you said, being able to sin as much as you want." This is a comment she heard me saying. I'm not denying this comment. "Being able to sin as much as we want leads to sinning less," Caitlin says, "which is absolutely absurd and so false, it isn't even funny." Is it false? What's the opposite of this? But first of all, can we admit that because of the grace of God, we are technically able, not that we would want to, but we are able to sin as much as we want. We just don't want to, but we're able to because of Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Paul wants us to know that it is a guaranteed fact from the throne of God in Paul's gospel only. And here's the thing, Paul's gospel only, it's where sin increases, grace super exceeds. What does Christianity say? Where sin increases, condemnation super exceeds. What does the law of Moses say? Where sin increases, the rocks get heavier. In any other message in the scriptures, apart from Paul, the increase of sin equals the increase of condemnation. So it is essentially true
that because of Christ saving us apart from works, we are actually able, if anyone is so crazy to test it, and I don't recommend anyone testing it, we are able to sin as much as we want. And that leads to sinning less. I'll stay with that, because once you realize that the grace of God is so all-pervasive, is so based on God's love, on agape love, which is the essence of His love toward us. Agape love does not consider the worthiness of the object. Once you realize that, it does cause you to sin less, because you realize how much God loves you and that this is not conditional. Caitlin is promoting, and so is Johnny, conditional salvation, which is part of the Israel gospel. Because what's the opposite of what she's saying here? Not being able to sin. What does that remind you of? It's the law. The law doesn't enable you to sin as much as you want. The law never said, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. As I just said, the law said, where sin increases, I'm paraphrasing it, but the rocks get bigger. Or sin increases, your condemnation increases. That's subtly what Caitlin is saying by condemning the truth. That it is only an acknowledgement of the grace of God. It is only an appreciation of the grace of God that will curb the flesh. Israel has already proven over thousands of years that law does not curb the flesh. In fact, law only incites the flesh. Paul proved this in Romans chapter 7. I did not think of coveting, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Sin, getting an incentive through the precept, that is through the law, produced in me all manner of coveting. So Johnny's and Caitlin's message is, oh, you are not, you're just not free. In other words, you're not free. You might as well substitute the word free for the word able. Being free to sin as much as we want, let's say we want to, we don't, but let's say we did, it can't overwhelm the grace of God. That is the point. And it is law, which is being strongly suggested here by Miss Green. It is law that actually leads people to sin. Because people are incensed that an invisible deity would put any restrictions on them whatsoever. Oh, who is this invisible God telling me what I can and can't do? We'll see about that. And the law, the flesh, sin inside of us is incited at the prohibition. This is exactly what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 7. Flesh is incited because of that. Paul is literally telling us here that we cannot go on sinning. Dealt with that yesterday. What do you mean you cannot go on sinning? Then stop sinning. Don't sin today, Caitlin. Johnny, don't sin today. You can't go on. You can't do it. You can't go on sinning. So stop it. Stop it. Don't sin anymore. Let's hear these people or anybody who's promoting good behavior for salvation. Let's see you stop sinning. Then Caitlin says of me, you deny the power God has to change a person. I deny the power God has to change a person. That's what I'm relying on. And those who rely on the grace of God, who tell you to set your affection on things above, not that on the earth. We are counting on the power of God to change us. What is the opposite of that? Counting on yourself to change yourself. This is, of course, being promoted by Johnny, Caitlin, and all of Christianity. They focus on you and your ability to withstand, your ability to keep yourself in check. So who is it who's denying the power God has to change a person? I'm saying by not worrying about our flesh anymore, because we've been delivered from the condemnation and being free and liberated to not be so self-absorbed, so that we can then look at God and be engaged, instead of being engaged with a war against our flesh, being engaged in a worship of God. That actually frees the Holy Spirit to work within us, because we've gotten our grimy little paws off of it, you see? But these people want your grimy paws on it. And then they accuse me of not giving God the power to change people. I'm relying totally on the power of God to change people, because I can't change myself. I guess these people can. Congratulations. But you're wrong. You're misguided. Whatever good happens, it's the operation of God within you. Nobody acknowledges that more than me. Nobody that I know of. If anybody acknowledges it more than me, step right up. I'll give you the prize. I'll hand over the trophy. You deny the power God has to change a person. No, it's your teaching that denies that. Putting it on the person. Putting the responsibility of change on the person. And according to Johnny Green, you better hurry up. Because if you don't look like Jesus, by the end of your life, you are not chosen. And you will die aeonian death. That's the man's teaching. When you stifle the Holy Spirit, stifle the Holy Spirit. Who the hell can stifle the Holy Spirit? I stifle the Holy Spirit? The only thing they could possibly stifle the Holy Spirit is by telling the Holy Spirit, get out of the way. I really don't need you. I want credit for this. I want credit for improving my life, for getting rid of my sins, so that then I can condemn others for not doing it. The only way you can condemn other people for not curbing your flesh like Johnny Green does in the previous video is by, even if you don't say it overtly, by suggesting that you're the one that curbed your own flesh. Who is stifling the Holy Spirit here and not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work? Not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work. Well, get the hell out of the way, Caitlin and Johnny, and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Get the hell out of the way. Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Then you can let go. If you truly trust the Holy Spirit, then you can let go of this manic control that you've had over your flesh. I congratulate anyone. I mean, let's just put it this way. I'm happy for anyone that has a bad habit or some sin in their life that overcomes it. I'm happy for that. Great. I'm so happy. Good. Caitlin and Johnny obviously are on fire because they've been delivered from something. Great. Apparently, you think you did it yourself. Because now you're cajoling other people to take an active part in the obliteration of your bad habits of your flesh. Your teaching is evil and twisted. Which part? The teaching that where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Romans 5:20. Philippians 4:6, that we're not to worry about anything. Which part of that is twisted? Well, I think we're going to find out here. God changes people, just like He changed Paul. That's right. And God does not change people at the same rate. Have you noticed? We are changed by the Holy Spirit within us, and it doesn't happen the same time for everybody. Read my book, if anyone has not read it, Flawed by Design. I am convinced because of Scripture that there are some things in our life that we will never get over, that we will never conquer. Oh, that's a no-no. Johnny Green thinks we have to conquer all of it, because if there's anything left over, any sin in our life left over that we don't deal with, if we don't manage to look like Christ by the end of our life, then we're doomed to aeonian death. I say, because the Scripture says, that that's no longer our business. And again, God brings everyone along at their own pace. So just celebrate your victories, because you think they're your victories, and leave the rest of us alone. Unless you're going to teach grace and let the Holy Spirit do its work. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit do its work in my life and in the life of those who watch this show or other shows, or forget who watches shows, those who trust God, who consider the old humanity to have been crucified and now live in newness of life, defying the operation of sin that's still in our members. The operation of sin is still in our members. But back to the book I wrote, Flawed by Design. There's something we're not going to get over. Why? Because God has given us this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It is essential that the power of God is inside a vessel that is flawed. It's essential. Otherwise, the person would think, I did this. The power of God. What do you mean? I didn't need the power of God. I overcame my own flesh. That's why I'm doing so well. That's why I'm going to heaven. That's why I have aeonian life. But what if God gives you something that you just can't get over? Many people, that would wreck their lives. That would ruin their lives. They would obsess over it. I've got to get rid of every sin in my life except one. If I can overcome this one, oh, I'm going to get the trophy. But God says, nope, I will not give you that ground. I will not give you that ground. And God says, nope, I'm going to keep you weak in that area. I'm going to keep you weak. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. Caitlin, again, you think Paul just sinned as much as he wanted? No, none of it. I never claimed Paul just sinned as much as he wanted. That's a false accusation. That's calumny. That is a calumniation. That is false witness. I never said that Paul said he just sinned as much as he wanted to. None of us sin as much as we want to. We don't want to sin. Sin is devastating. Because you reap what you sow. It's not devastating to aeonian life because grace only increases when it comes to aeonian life. All is allowed me, but not always expedient. It's not helpful to murder somebody. It's not helpful to rob the convenience store. It's not helpful to be envious, jealous, greedy. It's not helpful. It carries devastating earthly consequences. I want to have everybody avoid all these things. And my objection is the insistence from you two that this sin can keep you. I don't know if you realize this, Caitlin. Maybe you're not this way. I've never heard you say it overtly like Johnny has. That sin will keep you from being chosen, or keep you from it. That's the devastating aspect of this message, of your message, that sin can keep you from aeonian life. As though God's choosing of us was dependent upon behavior, when we're told clearly, 2 Timothy 1:9, we're called not in accord with our acts. Paul struggled every day to fight that sinful nature because he wanted to please God. False. No, Saul did that. That was Saul before he became Paul. That was the man that fought every day against the sinful nature. You're here promoting it by suggesting that the Apostle Paul struggled every day to fight the sinful nature. That's what he did as a Pharisee. That's what brought him to despair, that he could not conquer his flesh. Every time he tried to follow the law of Moses, he failed. In fact, the law of Moses caused him to covet even more. Paul said, I never even considered coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And again, the law getting incentive through the precept produced in me all manner of coveting. It is the law that does that. Caitlin, Paul struggled every day to fight against the sinful nature as a Pharisee. You're suggesting the Apostle Paul struggled every day to fight the sinful nature? So therefore you, by extension, and your father are encouraging us to struggle every day. Is that what you want for us? It is. It is. Paul struggled every day to fight the sinful nature. No, he didn't. He considered the sinful nature, that is the old humanity, to have been crucified. All his problems were over. Read the end of Romans chapter 7. I've been through this many, 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 many times. Paul was not delivered from his flesh, from his sin. He was delivered from the war with his sin. Damn it, I'll do it again. I'll do it again. Romans chapter 7. Verse 21, consequently, I am finding the law. This is Paul describing himself as a Pharisee, which, Caitlin, you want us to do this today. You want us as justified people to struggle every day against sin. That is the essence of religion, girl. The essence of religion, struggle every day against sin. Struggle, struggle, struggle. You think that's what the gospel is about? Struggle, struggle, struggle. No, it's about freedom, freedom, freedom. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees you. The struggle is over. Listen to Paul. As a Pharisee now, consequently, I'm finding the law that at my willing to be doing the ideal, we're all willing to be doing the ideal, Caitlin and Johnny. The evil is lying beside me. This is the Apostle Paul. As a Pharisee, this is the great Pharisee who considered himself to be excelling in the law of Moses. As he testifies concerning himself in the book of Philippians, becoming blameless as to the law, becoming blameless. But I find that at my willing to be doing the ideal, the evil is lying beside me. I'm grateful with the, I'm gratified with the law of God as to the man within. Yet, here's the torture. Here's the struggle, Caitlin, that you want us to still participate in. How's your life going? Struggling every day against the old nature that was crucified. Such an unnecessary struggle. If you want to struggle with it, go ahead. You're inviting other people to struggle with it, and we're condemned if we don't. Shame on you and on your dad. Well, you totally missed the gospel of grace. I believe now that you've never had it. You never had it to begin with. Paul says in verse 22, Romans 7, I'm gratified with the law of God as to the man within. Yet, verse 23, I am observing a different law in my members, warring with the law of my mind and leading me into captivity. This is the struggle, leading me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. This is a law of human nature that outside laws, especially ones coming from God, from this invisible deity, don't do this, don't do that. This secret was hidden from Israel. Those outside laws actually produce more sin. The law came, again, Romans 5:20, that the transgression should increase, not decrease, increase. This war, I am observing a different law in my members, warring with the law of my mind, leading me into captivity to the law of sin which is in me. Verse 24, a wretched man am I. What will rescue me out of the body of this death? Your answer, Caitlin, is struggle. Your answer, Johnny Green, is struggle. It is struggle against the flesh that will deliver you, that will rescue you. Struggle. That's what you said, Caitlin. Struggle. Paul struggled every day. And you're recommending the same course for us? But what does Paul say? Are you willing to go to the Concordant Literal New Testament here? A wretched man am I. What will rescue me out of this body of death? Answer, grace. Grace. What's the result of this? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Consequently then, the result of this revelation I've just had, that he had in the past, but he's replaying it for our benefit, is that I myself with the mind, indeed am slaving for God's law, yet with the flesh for sin's law. He's still, after this revelation, slaving with the flesh for sin's law. Then what the hell has the man been delivered from? What's he been delivered from? He's been delivered from the war. He's delivered from this war between his mind and his body, wanting to do the right thing, but not being able to. It was a war. It was a struggle. It's a struggle of all religion. It's a struggle of the human race to try to please a seemingly implacable God. And the answer is grace. What's your answer? More freaking struggle. Are you kidding me? And your dad's John the Baptist type coming to us to say, you better repent. You people are still struggling. Keep it to yourself. Don't invite us to struggle. We can read Romans chapter 7, and I don't know what the hell the New Living Translation says, and I don't give a damn what the New Living Translation says. Paul was delivered from the struggle. According to this, nothing changed. You're looking for change. Johnny's looking for fruit, wants to see fruit. I better see some fruit or you're not chosen. I better see some fruit. Hey, fruit is God's business. The operation of the Holy Spirit in each of us individually is God's business. We are growing in the growth of God. Leave us alone. Keep your struggle to yourself. The result in Romans 8:1 is nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I wish you twos would get that. I wish you twos would understand that truth, that nothing is now condemnation. Because not according to flesh are they walking. That is not observing the flesh are they walking. They're not down. That's what that word means in Greek, according to kata. Not down with the flesh are they walking. They're not looking at their flesh, analyzing it every day. You know what your dad told us to do? Inspect yourself. Analyze yourself. Constantly monitor yourself. Pay attention to everything that you do. And if you find you're doing something wrong, then you need to repent immediately frickin' struggle is over. How can you say this to me? How can you say this? How can you be so ignorant? Paul struggled every day to fight the sinful nature. Didn't you read in Romans 6 that the sinful nature was crucified? Because he wants to please God. Of course he wants to please God. But in order to do that, he had to come to a place where he had no more confidence in his flesh. You still have confidence in your flesh. Good luck with that. Because God changed Paul. You're leading all these people to a very dark place. I'm leading people to a dark place. Even in this show, I'm leading people to freedom and liberation and deliverance from the struggle of religion. All religion comes down to this. You better struggle against your sinful nature. And if you don't succeed in this struggle, you are going to be damned. And you're still parroting the Orthodox religion challenge. You're doing that. The danger is that you're using grace language. You're using the word grace, using the word Paul, you're using the word evangel, I never heard you use the word justification. It'd be nice if I heard that one time in any of your arguments. Don't hear it at all. I'm leading all these people the people who watch my channel, I'm leading them into a very dark place. Ask them. Where this teaching, and it's not my teaching, it's the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Ask them if it's led them into a dark place or if it's delivered them from a dark place. A dark place of hopeless struggle. A dark place of when every time you look at your life, you're a failure. And you wonder how you could ever please God. That's the dark place. Then you find out that God is smiling on you. That he took your old self and he crucified it with Christ. And now God pronounced you righteous. Because of what? Because you behaved yourself? Because you avoid the lasciviousness that your dad warns about? No, because of Jesus Christ's faith. That is what delivers us. For the love of God and Christ. And Christ on the cross. Please. Quit promoting struggle. And again, how dare you say that Paul struggled every day of his life? No, that was Pharisee Saul that did that. You think that Paul saying, don't let sin control you, means that you should give in to every sinful desire you have, like unthinking animals, calumny, false witness. Paul would deliver you up to Satan for that. I don't have the power to do that. I'm just going to try to talk sense into you, because again, I love you and your father. Don't let sin control you means the opposite of what you're doing and what your father's doing. Every time sin peeps out of the foxhole, you're letting it control you. Oh, gotta repent of that, gotta destroy that, gotta go after that, gotta run after that. That's what it means for sin to control you. You're being controlled by sin. You think, Caitlin, Paul saying don't let sin control you means that you should go into every sinful desire you have. No, I think that Paul saying don't let sin control you means that you should not let sin in your life anymore condemn you, anymore dictate your actions. You should not let sin anymore keep your affections on the earth and on yourself and on the mirror. Don't let sin do that anymore. I don't know if you noticed, but we're still in these bodies of humiliation and we still sin. Don't let that control you, but that's what you're doing. I'm not doing that. You're doing it. That means you should give in to every sinful desire you have. I've never said that to anyone. Never would I. No, Paul is saying that we have no obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. You know what your sinful nature is urging you to do? It's a voice from the tomb. The old sinful nature was crucified. So you're listening to ghosts. And what it is urging you to do is to battle it. to struggle with it. That's what you're promoting here. Paul struggled every day to fight that sinful nature because he wants to please God. No, Saul did that. You're promoting it here. We have no obligation to listen to that. You're making us obligated. You're making a struggle against sin to be obligatory. It is not. God gives us a way of escape that when we face temptation. Way of escape. God gives us a way of escape when we face temptation. You're still fighting it. You're still fighting in sin's arena. Sin has baited you and won. You're fighting it. The way of escape is not what you do against it. The way of escape is the cross of Christ. That's the way of escape. And it's been done. It's not something that keeps coming every time we sin. It's something that was done and it covers us like an umbrella or a blanket. And it's delivered us and lifted us up, and everybody enjoys it. That is everybody who understands justification. People who still think we're in a struggle, they don't enjoy it at all.